Gabriel, Benjamin to the right. No running back. Empty backfield. Second and goal at the four. McCown back. Looks. Throws. Caught by Benjamin. And he fights into the end zone for a touchdown.
The Rabbit does it again. Five touchdowns on the year.
The Rabbit's got some spunk.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season's here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. We go now to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline and welcome in the voice of the Cleveland Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, not a great day for the Browns yesterday at First Energy Stadium. What really stood out to you and has you kind of the most concerned?
Well, it wasn't a good day. You're right, Nathan. I thought it had the end part of it looked like it could be very dramatic, but it was too far to come back, and it was more a wish than a reality. But there was so much before that comeback that really went wrong for them. But the thing that's frightening, it was watching the Browns' defense, and then the other thing is that when you look at statistically at what they gave up, and then it verifies what you saw with your eyes, and you just saw, you know, a running game that was wide open and that they were gashing them and the Browns couldn't make tackles, and a passing game that just picked them apart and no pass rush to speak of that really harassed Derek Carr at all. I mean, that's the most troubling thing. I mean, the offense is another issue that seemed to get better as the game went on, but the defense, which seems to be coming into the season the thing that was going to be the glue for this team, is not getting it done. And when you look at those numbers, they're frightening.
Jim, and as you look at the numbers, what do you think is the biggest culprit? Is it the players themselves executing the plan, or is it the plan/scheme that we're missing at this point, going into winnable football games, but in some cases coming out and not executing?
Yeah, it seems, I mean, you know, I like the scheme last week. You know, Matt, I thought last week it worked very, very well, and I thought everybody was on the same page, and everybody did their job. I mean, yesterday, it started right away where the Raiders had diagnosed that they wanted to get the ball to Cooper, and they were not going to be fearful of throwing to him, even with Joe Hayden on him, and that just seemed to multiply as the day went on. But I was shocked at the way the Raiders ran the ball, because in watching them in the first 2 weeks, I mean, they just seemed to be all out pass, that all their money was spent into the passing game with Carr and with Cooper and with Crabtree, that they were just going to be a team that was going to throw and kind of sprinkle in the run. But the run was the thing that really became so, you know, such a big play for them. And I mean, you know, I just looked at these runs and they were bizarre because they were just so wide open. And nobody was making a tackle, and people were whiffing on plays. And to be honest with you, it reminded me of the running plays against the Browns defenses back in 1999 and 2000. And I thought we were way beyond that.
Certainly would hope so. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns. Jim, all right, I'm going to try to see if we can get some positivity out of this from you. What did you see that you were pleased with or that gave you some level of hope?
Well, the fight to get back into the game was really good, because there was nothing going well in any phase of the game. I mean, even at special teams, when they tried to do things, they roughed the punter. So, but they got back into the game, and they kind of, you know, methodically at first, Nathan, got back into the game. And, you know, I like the way – I think that's probably the tale of a veteran quarterback being able to hold it together mentally and realizing – this is going to be a long road to try and get back even in this game, so we're just going to have to kind of plot our way through it, and if we can hit a big play, fine, but we're going to have to hit a few plays underneath that to make this thing work. So I credit McCown for the way he got them back into the game, and then I did think that at a point in the fourth quarter, he got into a rhythm that was far better than he was in at any point, or that he wasn't in at any point earlier in the game, when he was just really missing throws high and wide and too far, and I thought then he started to get into a pretty good rhythm. And, you know, I thought that last drive was very admirable, to be pinned at the 2-yard line like that and to move your way down into a, you know, a very, very winnable or tie, you know, ability to tie the game up, because you still, you know, you had plenty of time. You weren't that far away. You had a lot of good things going. And I'll tell you what, when he let that ball go and out of the right corner of my eye, Benjamin was wide open. I thought we had an incredible comeback. So I do applaud that. I think that was the positive part of it, that they got back into the game, and I credit that to a guy that's been around the league a while.
And, Jim, don't you think, and a point that I've taken away, is that it's very clear that we lost all three phases of the football game, offense, yeah, defense, and special teams. And the way everything played out yesterday, had we won one phase, meaning our offense showed up and played well, or the defense, or even, you know, the third that nobody really talks about, had special teams not had its blunders, we could have stolen that victory as bad as we played in the first half.
Yeah, I think so, Matt, because I think there really is something mentally to a team and to an organization that hasn't won on the road in forever, like the Raiders. So I think that the Raiders get into a position where they kind of go, oh, no, we're going to blow this thing. And sometimes it lives out to be fact that you do blow it. And I'm sure in the long list of losses that they've had consecutively on the road through these last few years, I'm sure they've been ahead in games and blown them. And I thought, you know, that the Browns had them a little bit unstable, you know, at the point in the fourth quarter when it looked like everything had swung. So when Benjamin drops the punt,
sure,
you know, I mean, boy, you're going to get the ball out by midfield there if he hangs on to that thing. And, you know, I really thought the Browns had them in a great spot there. But even when they got the ball at the 2 and they're going down the field against the Raiders, you're saying to yourself, wow, you know, we're playing better, and I think they're a little bit tight right now in that they, you know, have seen this happen to them many times before. So I agree with you. I mean, it was sitting there out there for the Browns, and unfortunately they just couldn't fully grab it.
The Browns secondary, to me, a lot of the Mike Pettine, you know, words into action, let's stop talking about it, was directed at that group. 3 Pro Bowlers a year ago. This year, the 3 Pro Bowlers all are in the top 8 at their respective positions in missed tackles. They have been off to a very slow start. Tremont Williams has played well, but I think Tashaun Gibson, I think Dante Whitner and Joe Hayden are off to very, very slow starts. What are you seeing that is the issue with these guys? Are they just getting flat out beaten right now?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Nathan. You know, I look at Tremont Williams, and I agree with you. I think of anybody, he's playing the best. And I look into his eyes a little bit after these 2 losses against the Jets and definitely yesterday. And this is something he really hasn't experienced before with the Packers, because, you know, they dig in and they win games, or they get in shootouts, but they outscore you or whatever. So this is new to a guy like this, and I think it's puzzling to him. And I don't want to say it's troubling yet, but I think it's puzzling to him about, boy, you know, this is different than what I played with and played around in Green Bay. Number one, I would say a guy like Gibson, for instance. I mean, obviously, you know, he wasn't happy with his contractual situation. If you remember, he really wasn't around the team at all until, you know, the mandatory mini camp, and then he came in, and if you remember when he came in, then he was hurt, and he was hurt through a lot of training camp. So I just think for a guy like that, he hasn't played a lot, you know, coming into this season. And you know, not to the level that he played when he was an undrafted guy trying to make the team coming out of Wyoming. Hayden, I don't know. He's up against great talent going against him, but that's not the Joe Hayden that we're used to, and I just continue to hope every Sunday he's going to snap back. You know, Whitner, you know, that's very troubling to me that you know, he's whiffing on plays like that, because I think that he's, you know, he's a voice of the defense at times, but, you know, that's a voice that won't be listened to a great deal if you're not making the plays yourself.
That's so true, Jim. And last question for me is just, you talked about your play of Josh McCown. Where do you sit, and I listened to your call into the Really Big Show earlier with Riz, on the whole, do you go with McCown, do you go with Manziel on this trip out to San Diego?
Well, I would have stayed with Manziel. I really would have. And,
me
you
too.
Know, I really thought, and I think I said that to you guys last week, I mean, I really thought that we were on the way to finding out what was going to be with Johnny Manziel. What is he going to be? And I still think that's an imperative, you know, journey that we have to take this year, and we got to find out what he's all about and what's in front of him, and can he do it, and can he be our guy? So I would have stayed with him, but having played McCollin, and just being around this head coach for a year and change now, I think that Mike will stay with McCollin. I think that he's, when he makes a decision like this, I think he's, I don't want to say he's loyal to a fault, but I think he's ultra loyal. And I think he's made that decision that McCollin is his guy, and I think that he will stay with him. But I would have gone and stayed with the other guy, with Manziel.
What do you think it's going to take? I mean, do you think that this is something, because he doesn't want to talk about a short leash, then it becomes a self-fulfilling
right.
prophecy. But what do you think, you know, how many games do you go with McCown if things don't go well, and looking at the schedule coming up, they could be tough, that it would be before you maybe give Johnny an opportunity?
Well, I would think then the leash would get a little bit short. If it's ineffective play again, if it's, you know, if you're only getting short periods of bursts from him where he's got things going and he's just not moving the team, and he's inaccurate and they're just not, you know, seeming to rally around him, then I think you'd have to make the move ASAP at that point. So, I mean, I would think he would have to have a much better game in San Diego Sunday, and if he doesn't, then I really think you're going to have to take a look at it pretty quickly, because I really believe that, you know, Manziel was on a, you know, as Mike said himself, his arrow was pointing up each time he played, and I think it would be time to really take a good long look at him, and not just a look, but commit to him.
Yeah.
And again, you know, get this process moving along.
Jim, the offensive line is something that I've continued to kind of focus on, because
yeah.
it was, again, one of those things. It was supposed to be, you know, an elite unit for this team.
Right.
And to not be able to get in from the 1 yard line is obviously not what this team is about or is supposed to be about. What do you see going on with this line?
Boy, I don't see any push, whether it's down on the goal line, Nathan, or if it's in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I mean, they really seem to struggle. And when they try to go to the outside on these running plays, I mean, these running backs are having to loop back because there's so much penetration, you know, in across the line, that just to get back and get a no-gainer out of something turns into like a 3 or 4 yard
sure.
really tough run. So I just don't see any kind of push from this team. And I remember early in training camp where Mike Patton said, hey, listen, when we get down, you know, inside the 10, certainly inside the 5, we're thinking 6. And you agree with him on that. And when you're inside the 1, and really that's where they were when they lined up on that first and goal play, they were actually inside the 1. I mean, they just had, you know, they had no push at all, which really I would have just, I don't know if you guys know, what would the play have been on fourth down if they had not, you know, gone into a false start? It would have been interesting to see what they would have done.
It would have been very interesting.
Yeah, but no push. That's what I see right now. And you're right. I mean, you know, the givens on this team were the defense and a really good offensive line.
Right.
And those two areas have been anything but good.
Those have been the quote-unquote, what I've been talking about, the core competencies of everything
yeah.
that you've invested in and you've said you are going to be, have been the areas that I would argue have been the most disappointing so far for this Cleveland Browns team here in 2015.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, Alex Mack, we talked, you know, about Benjamin needing a full year to come back from his injury, and he seems better, much better this year. He is
yes.
much better. This year, I don't know if Mac needs more time, but it is not the unit that we saw early in the year before Mac got hurt that was so very, very good. I mean, they were really good, and the running game was just beautiful to watch. And you know, I really pine for that. I know you guys, I know you guys do too.
We certainly do. Jim, thank you so much for your time. Good job on the call as always, and hopefully we'll be talking about a better outcome this Sunday when we're on the call against the San Diego Chargers.
All right, absolutely. Hope so. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines again, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on a tough Monday following a 27-20 loss to the Oakland Raiders at First Energy Stadium.